Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priests, our 31st episode. And my name is Father Ted Paraskevopoulos, always here with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, up in Manitoba. Father, how's it going?
Going all right. Yourself?
I can just like record. I'll just record you saying that. Just have the automatic answer every time. I'm good here. You know, we're still in lockdown. Hopefully by the time, we don't know when this episode is going to air, but who knows? Maybe there won't be a lockdown. We'll see. But as we record right now in mid-April, we're in lockdown. But even though we're in lockdown, we are able to at least have some fun with some friends. And today, we are really honored and excited to have a guest, our first guest from the beautiful island of Crete in Greece, Heraklion, which I've been to, and it's a beautiful place. We are having today as a guest Mr. Manolis Zouganelis, who is in Heraklion, Crete. He's a black belt under Gavril Marangoni, and he is the owner of Morto BJJ, which is a club in Heraklion, where he has been training and he's been doing jiu-jitsu since 2007. And we are really, really excited to have him on the podcast. So, you know, Manoli, welcome.
Nice to meeting you guys. The honor is all mine. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. You know, this is our second season, our second year of doing this podcast. We started it with Father Thomas when the first lockdowns happened. last April, we just had our 1 year anniversary, and we were just saying that how crazy it is that we're still kind of talking about lockdowns a year later.
Yeah.
And but this kind of season, we've started to kind of branch out. We met so many interesting people who did jiu-jitsu. People we never thought, you know, a lot of Orthodox priests, which is crazy, like in especially the U.S., a lot of Greek Orthodox priests, but some other Orthodox priests as well, and Orthodox Christians who do jiu-jitsu. We didn't think there were so many. But this season, we've been kind of branching out, and we're meeting a lot of our friends from Europe. So, you know, we just spoke to another really interesting guest last week, Tudor Mihaita from Romania, who's kind of like... Yeah, one of the main guys, you know, kind of started and brought BJJ to the Romanian community there. So that was a really nice interview. And we're really happy to have you today from Crete to kind of tell us a little bit about your story and, you know, how you got into jiu-jitsu and what the scene looks like on the island of Crete there. So we look forward to getting into it with you.
Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today. So why don't you start off by telling us and our listeners a little bit about your background, where you grew up, your family, stuff like that.
So, okay. I grew up in, obviously, in Crete, in Heraklion, Crete. I have two kids, and basically, I love jiu-jitsu like yourselves. Wow. Okay, how I started. So it's very popular in Greece, the kickboxing, because it's been around, you know, many, many years before jiu-jitsu. So, so back in 2005, I think it was the first time that I got to a gym, a kickboxing gym. And it was a guy that knew some stuff. I don't know, it wasn't, you know, something sophisticated or something, just like two three guys rolling on the floor. And that was the first time, you know, I got into it, but nothing serious. 2 years later, I traveled and I went to 2007 to Belgium, I came, you know, I trained in Leuven, in a city, it's Leuven, I think it's pronounced like that, with Wim de Pewter. I don't know if you know him. He was purple belt back then, but now he has several releases of DVDs with the BJJ fanatics, and he's really cool guy and very nice, very, very good professor. So I trained with him for several months back then, 5-6 months. and I competed as well in Brussels and Holland. And I think that was my first touch with the sport. I mean, the serious training.
Mm-hmm. So, did you when you came back to Crete, and did you start training with?
I started training with
the technique you learned, or what?
I came back and I started training in kickboxing gyms in my living room with guys that they've been doing some sports and they wanted to know. So basically, I was a white belt and I was rolling and teaching, let's say, with other guys. But it was not back then. YouTube wasn't so popular with BJJ videos, so it was quite walking in the dark.
So when did you get your blue belt then and really start the journey toward the black belt?
When I was training around in some gyms and everything, but basically most of the time I was all alone in Crete, and people would come in and out and train, and I would travel. I studied in I lived in the UK for several years, and in Holland, and in Belgium. So I got through traveling, I got some connecting some pieces, and then coming back and forth.
Okay. How did you get how did you get your black belt? How did that come about?
It came through my professor Gabriel Margoni came in Crete. The previous belts I got them from Professor Marco Cagna from London. Mm-hmm. And Gabriel Margoni, he came for seminars in Morto, and I got my black belt under him.
Mm-hmm. And what year you say?
That was, I think, one and a half year ago or something. Yeah, oh, quite recently. Yeah, it's quite recently.
Yeah, I got my black belt in November of 2019 myself, so...
Similar.
There you go.
Yeah,
I know. It's you get your black belt, and then there was one tournament in Toronto, but it was during Lent, and there was something at the seminary, so I couldn't sign up for it. And then next thing you know, the situation that we're in unfolds, and competing at black belt since then.
Same story.
You said you have two kids. Do they train at all, Manoli?
My son is 7 years of age, and he, he doesn't. I don't push him. We do other sports with him. He's very active and everything, and cycling and outdoor sports and everything. I don't push him though. Mm-hmm. He comes to the gym. He has, of course, gis and everything, but I don't push him to get into a formal class and everything.
Mm-hmm. The other one is small. The second child.
It's 5 months old, a girl.
Perfect timing.
perfect timing. Lockdown time.
That's okay. I know. You can't force them, right? So they have to want to.
No, I mean, he's going to train in anyways, because he's like me. He's very active. So I know that he's going to train, I train 5 hours a day normally myself. Wow. When I say train, I don't train the others. I train myself. I don't just stay outside and everything. I just train myself. So I think that he's kind of the same mentality, mm-hmm. and he's gonna end up there in any ways.
Yeah. If they watch you, they get inspired too, right? So I got three kids and they all train, but originally it was just my son. So I have twins who are nine now. Katarina and George, Yorgo, and George started with me about a year and a half ago. So we both started jiu-jitsu together. And then the sister, and then the younger son, who's six, Angelos, they didn't train. They were not interested yet. But seeing their brother training, and they saw me, and then even with the lockdown, they were continuing on Zoom, they were really interested, and they thought that it was enjoyable. So they joined afterwards, like 6 months later. So now all of them do it. But I never forced them. It was something that they...
Yeah.
And they enjoy it. So as long as they enjoy it, we keep doing it, right?
Exactly. What makes us happy? This is
of course,
the most important thing.
Nice. And when did you start the club, Morto BJJ?
Oh, I was in another island. First it was another name, and it was in Khersonchos, a city next to Heraklion, many years ago. And then I changed the logo, and it became Morto in 2015. Mm-hmm. But you know, in another island where I had some business there, and then I came back in Crete and I carried on with it. So basically, 2015, it's the Morto sign logo. Mm-hmm. But it started way before.
I see. Nice. And how many students do you, before COVID, we always say before COVID, you know, did you have a lot of students? How was it going?
I teach only adults, not kids.
Okay.
Because it's quite competitive team. So it's like maybe around 35 to 40 adults.
Wow.
And more than maybe 30 out of them, they compete. Mm-hmm. So it's quite competitive group and everything. And, I chose not to teach kids and everything for now, maybe in the future. But now I wanted to concentrate into the fighting thing, you know, into the tournament format for adults.
Sure. Nice. Well, thank you for that little background, Manoli. So I want to ask you some stuff about the BJJ scene in Crete, because, you know, I know in Greece now, okay, jiu-jitsu is getting popular. It's not new anymore. It's gotten popular over the last maybe decade, I would say, right? But on the island, like, is it like something that is very popular now, or is it still something fairly new for the Cretans?
For Heraklion, it's quite on a primal stage, I guess, because, you know, it's picking up, but it's not where it should be, because of, you know, there are some other arts like striking arts that they are ahead because they are longer around. But while in Chania, for example, which is another city 2 hours away from here, they have a huge crowd, you know, training. So it's more, you know, into their, you know, training routine and everything, the BJJ, than us. But it starts to picking up, I guess.
Sure. Do you find, you know, so like, obviously, you know, part of our podcast, because, you know, we're two priests, and a lot of the stuff that we talk about is kind of this parallel, or this connection that we see, at least, between, you know, the Orthodox faith and jiu-jitsu, because we were quite surprised. And, you know, as we got involved in it, Father Thomas, of course, first, and then myself, you know, we found that jiu-jitsu has a lot in common with the Orthodox faith, because, you know, it espouses a lot of the same, I guess you could say, principles. You know, like, you know, in Orthodoxy, for example, we talk about asceticism, like asketismos, you know, like spiritual struggle and things like that, and humility, and you know, hard work, and all this kind of stuff, which is the exact same kind of stuff you see on the jiu-jitsu side. But we have mentioned this in some previous podcasts. We were talking about this with Tudor in the last episode, where you know, we have found that, unfortunately, in Europe, and especially, for example, in Orthodox countries like Greece or other Orthodox countries, sometimes the church, because they don't know enough about jiu-jitsu, they have taken a negative stance, or at least a cautious stance against jiu-jitsu, because they don't understand it. They don't understand, like we saw in the Church of Greece, you know, like in some places, I don't know how it is in Crete, and that's why I'm going to ask you, maybe you know, but I know, like, for example, in Athens, where my parents have a house, like, for example, the Metropolitan of Lifada, right, had said a few years ago, made a statement, they, like, because they were teaching BJJ in the high schools, in the Lykia, which is a very good thing, I think. And you know, the Metropolitan came out and said, oh, you know, they shouldn't do this because, you know, it's Eastern religion, and, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, and this kind of, like, this misunderstanding of what jiu-jitsu is, because it's not like classical martial arts. There's no religion involved in jiu-jitsu. And they I find that some people in the church have taken a negative stance against it. So I'm curious, like, do you find in Crete, do you find any kind of pushback from the church, or do you find that they don't care? They just kind of, they don't mind it kind of growing.
I have no clue. I have no clue. No, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Really don't know about their stance and everything.
Sure.
Yeah, I have no clue about it because I'm not such, you know, in that way religious, so I don't know. I have no answer for it. Sorry.
Well, you know, it's okay. You know, if you haven't heard anything, that probably means that they don't care, or they haven't really, because if you're teaching and you're, you know, you have a prominent club, trust me, if they had a problem with it, you would find out. Right?
Because
the church is it's so involved in everything, especially in Crete, right? And people, generally speaking, are fairly religious compared to, let's say, other countries, right? And you would hear, we always ask this question, which I'm just curious, because different places have different experiences.
No, in that matter, I haven't heard anything, you know, I haven't heard anything about like a criticism or some coming out from the church here.
That's good. That's good. Do you know of any priests that do BJJ?
No, just you.
Yeah, the only ones you've ever met, eh?
They're into MMA. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you never know, right? Like, it's
basically in Heraklion, there's so, you know, there's only few, you know, there's not a big group of people training. So I would know. But in Heraklion, definitely there's no priests. Maybe in Chania.
Well, you never know, because the thing is, this is we were talking about this in the last episode with Tudor, right? Because, you know, Romania, very heavily religious country, right?
Yeah.
One could say even more so than Greece, as far as the average person being very involved, right, in the church. And so, you don't see, like, even for you, like, how many priests have you spoken to? Like, you're speaking to us now on Zoom, right? You know, how many ones have you ever met that not wearing the lasso right now, right? Like,
I live opposite of a big church here, so yeah, I got to see a priest every day, you know, every morning and stuff like this. So I see,
but you never see them, right? Right. This is the thing. Like, the culture is still a little behind, right? Like, we're even though, don't get me wrong, in North America, here in Canada or the States, we still wear it asa, we still do our thing, right? But we're a little more laid back. You know, we can go do our training. We can go to the beach. We can go to the gym. We can go around in t-shirts. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
I think they do. They can do that here as well. They're free to do it, but they won't.
Yes.
Not because of the criticism. It's their lifestyle, you know? It's, you know, some people have different lifestyles.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's like a social kind of reality in Greece right now.
So
it's always interesting when I go there and I go visit, and, like, you know, we have a house in Athens and stuff like that. It's very different than the way the church is here in the exoteriko, in the diaspora, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always curious to see, I know, of course, lay people are going to be doing BJJ, but I'm curious to see if there's any priests who are actually doing it, like in Greece or in other places, like in Europe, because I haven't heard of any right now.
Tudor, did he know anyone?
He doesn't know any priests. The only priest we have found is in America.
Yeah. Oh, in America.
Yeah. In America, there's a lot of Greek Orthodox priests who do jiu-jitsu. Some really good ones. And there's a few, we even found one, we have an interview, who's Orthodox priest in Brazil, who's a black belt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, it's growing in the new world, but in the old countries, it's not so popular amongst the clergy yet. So we're always fascinated by that because, of course, okay, we're priests. We thought we were the only ones. So it's always always curious to see, you know, how that kind of plays out in more traditional kind of cultures. And I've been to Crete. I love Crete, but it's a very kind of traditional society, right?
It is, yeah.
Cultural, very connected to their roots. They like their music, like their paradoshaki musiki, right? Like, they like their lira, you know?
Yes, of course.
It's awesome, yeah, of course. They, you know, they, they're very much, compared to the rest of Greece, the culture is much more closed, right? The Cretan culture and insulated. So yeah. That's why I'm always fascinated to see, you know, okay, well, you have this BJJ thing now coming to the island, which is, you know, it's foreign, it's new, right? And
it is.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, you also mentioned that you traveled a lot because, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you went to Brussels, you went to Leuven, you went, you know, you went to London, you went to Poland. So you did a lot of traveling to do training. How did that, like, I'm just curious, like, you know, meeting so many different types of people and kind of going and living in these different kind of areas. Did that influence you as far as, you know, the way you kind of look at jiu-jitsu as a, you know, as a sport, as an art form, and even yourself, like, did it change you? Like, when you had those experiences, like, did it affect the way you are now, how you live your life and how you approach jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, of course, because, you know, traveling is a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. It's always been, through traveling, you know, interacting with all kinds of people from different backgrounds, you know, we kind of get exposed to other point of views that help us grow and build character, you know. I believe that, you know, every trips that I did, even with my family, I went to Hungary, we went to Poland, we went to Austria, and I trained in those places as well. It was, it made the holidays even much more, you know, exciting and, you know, meeting people that they share the same passion as me and, exchanging training tips and all kind of stuff. You know, it's amazing. Traveling is amazing. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, more we travel, more we realize that, how small we are in this world, you know, and the whole universe, and that kind of makes us to acknowledge that we're nothing, you know. We're just here to share, love, and go.
Yeah, you know,
it's and basically that's BJJ as well, you know. You've got to be tapinos.
Yes, humble.
Humble, yeah, exactly. You've got to be humble. And BJJ, in a way, teaches you that in a way or another. Even if you're a top-level guy, whatever, it's going to come the time that you're not. So because, you know, time will pass and you're going to grow older and everything, so you've got to pass it on.
Yes.
And, you know, with traveling, I think that you get to see that idea, you know, to embrace that idea faster than if you stayed in one place.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've traveled quite a bit in my life too. I haven't been to the places you've gone. I've never been to London. I've never been to Poland or Hungary. You know, I've been to Egypt. I've been to the Middle East. I've been, you know.
Amazing. Amazing. It's another cultures you've been into.
Now I got three kids. I don't have any money to go anywhere. But you know, it's these are the same kind of things that we've discussed so many times with Father Thomas. You know that, like the issue of humility is a big one. Like even for the church, you know, it's that's the cornerstone of the Orthodox faith. Even though a lot of people they forget it, or sometimes priests forget it too, right? You know, but it's humility, right? You're not supposed to judge other people, and you're, as time goes on, you're supposed to become more humble, not less. Right, with your achievements.
Exactly.
And you've said it so many times on our show that, you know, you meet black belts, rarely do you find the arrogant ones, you find humble ones, because they've gone through so much in jiu-jitsu, they've been humbled so many times that by the time they get to black belt, they know what they don't know, and they pass it on with humility. They don't have like an arrogance, right?
Exactly. But nobody, you know, if you really think about it, nobody will remember the arrogant ones. You know, if you really think about it, mm-hmm. you know, let's think for a while. Who's going to forget Marcelo Garcia? No one. known, because he's the, you know, he's the logo of our sport, I think, you know. He represents everything, mm-hmm. good, you know, in and outside of the mat.
Yes.
And you know, like Musumeci as well, or Lachlan Giles, they are, you know, guys that they are, you know, they inspire you, and they share, they're good, you know. The arrogant ones, soon after a while, they're going to be forgotten, no matter the achievements on everything, because they're not thinking in, you know, as a part of something.
Mm. Well, you see the same thing with the modern saints, right? Like, why is everybody talking about, you know, Saint Paisios, and you know, even non-religious people in Greece know who he is, right? Like, it's little tiny monk sitting in a caliva, like in a hut somewhere, right? But why are people going? Because he's authentic, because he's humble, because he wouldn't make people feel like garbage. He would empower people, give them strength, right? And he went through the work. He did the work himself, right? And that's the most important thing. So it's people gravitate to like these kind of humble, you know, examples in the Orthodox Church. They usually don't gravitate towards bishops.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some that are good, don't get me wrong. But generally speaking, it's usually kind of like the humble ones who are kind of like in the corner somewhere doing their thing. And it's the same thing with jiu-jitsu, you know, I think.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you.
Nice. Well, on that note, I say we wrap it up, because that's a good final thought.
Okay.
And I think that it's, we really appreciate your insight, Manoli, you know, on your experiences and your travels. And I hope that everything kind of gets back to normal as fast as possible for you. I know with the lockdowns, it's been, you know, you're still shut down, you're waiting to kind of open the club and be able to train like you trained before. But I hope that happens soon for you.
Thank you for you too. And you both invited to come over and train. And it's going to be awesome having you here and go around in the island anytime.
I get back to Greece. I hope. That's going to have to do a little jiu-jitsu tour, you know.
Yes, and food tour as well.
Yeah, so we look forward to that, to being able to kind of hang out in person. But until then, you know, be safe. Thank you for coming on our little podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and we hope to talk soon.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
You too, Father Thomas.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.